work globally as a speaker, retreat facilitator, medium, and mentor. My mission is to awaken and realign you back to your magnificence, your power, and infinite potential. As the founder of the Rise with Love philosophy, I'm honored to share wisdom that will create the expansion of joy, abundance, love, and freedom to flow into your life. If you're ready, I want to hear you say yes, because the most wonderful things will unfold for you when you embark on the journey to rise with love. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode. As you rise with love, you'll feel a greater sense of peace and purpose, and I am so proud of you for continuing to show up so remarkably in your life. I'm super excited to introduce you to my special guest, whose mission is to build a strong, connected community where she can be a source of unconditional love for those she serves. She clearly has a powerful message to share with the collective consciousness that is rising with love. It is my greatest pleasure to introduce you to Crystal Moore from Mind, Body, Soul. She is a metaphysical life and meditation coach, where she encompasses her skills as a Reiki and crystal healer, mindfulness, life, and spiritual coaching. Crystal, I'm excited the universe aligned our paths and we get to co-create this conversation to truly serve our communities in the most beautiful way. I feel we have the same vision and heart to bring so much love into the world. Welcome, honey.
Oh, thank you and so much for having me. It's truly a pleasure and an honor.
Crystal, I feel like yourself, the word love means quite a lot. And I really can't wait to share in this beautiful experience. So I want to ask you, for me, what drives me is connection, and I love having that personal connection with my clients. Why is creating a community so important to you?
For me, it kind of comes down to the idea of tribe, and in your root chakra, it's so important to have community, to have a healthy balance in your mind, spirit, and soul, and in your body as well. We crave connection, and when we are not together, that's when things like anxiety and depression start to formulate in our bodies from being isolated. So I have found in my journey that community is one of the most important things for healing. For happiness, for joy, for all of those things.
I think we've also moved away from me, 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 I have to do everything myself, to actually where we are. We're a tribe, we're a community, and we are one. That energy is definitely coming back. So I agree with you 100%. I love having a community, a tribe of people all around the world. I think that's the beautiful thing about the internet. It brings people together. And I love that you are building such a strong community that is only going to go from strength to strength with an incredible leader like you. You take people through a 12-week metaphysical metamorphosis coaching program, which seems divine. I feel like I want some of that. What are some of the transformations your clients have experienced?
I have seen all kinds of different really beautiful metamorphoses happen right before my eyes. It's really amazing when we take a look at our chakra and we understand our energy system and we start to do some healing in each area. What happens to my clients is, first of all, self-love, a greater idea of what it is to love and care for the self, a greater idea of what it is to forgive the past. Understanding that forgiveness can be a selfish act and it can be just for you, just to really unchain you from things that aren't necessarily of your highest good to be continually attached to. For the most part, the one thing that I see in everyone is I notice everyone completely raise their vibration and truly love themselves. I think that's the most important aspect of the program is self-love and forgiveness.
And that is priceless. I mean, loving yourself is something that I believe is the number one thing we came here to do. We came here to love ourselves, have that love with source, and then I feel love with everyone else on the planet. And usually do you find, I imagine you work predominantly with women, do you find that they put themselves at the bottom of the ladder and don't even know how to begin to love themselves?
Absolutely. I do. I do work with men and women. I've been fortunate to have quite a good amount of men want to do the program with. I originally thought this, thinking it was going to be just for women, and it has turned out to be quite a balance of men and women. And the same goes for each, I feel like, with both people wanting to put themselves at the bottom and take care of everyone else. So that's the type of person that tends to be attracted to the program, is someone who hasn't learned yet that it's not selfish to take care of yourself. It's actually the best way that you can learn to take care of others is by demonstrating how to take care of yourself.
Yeah, they say you can't serve from an empty cup.
Yeah, it's true.
That's so beautiful. I kind of imagine metamorphosis like coming out as the butterfly. That's what I picture in my head. So it must be people who are looking for that deep transformation. And do you get spiritual people as well?
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's, because it's a metaphysical practice, there's quite a bit of spirituality that is entangled in the program. So it would probably be a different kind of program for someone that wasn't having some sort of a spiritual practice in their life.
Beautiful. I want to know, because I'm curious, what is a metaphysical facial?
The metaphysical facial basically is that I use lots of different things within the facial that are not just for your face. So yes, you get the mask, you get the exfoliant and the extractions and everything you would think of as getting a facial, right? But you also get Reiki healing, crystal healing. I do a guided meditation. And then I also bring about messages throughout the treatment if anything does come up through the treatment. So it truly is beyond just what you're getting physical. It's beyond the physical.
Oh, I love that. I'm so gutted that you can't do that virtually, because it sounds so good. You just pretend my face is there. And I know you can do like distance healing. Can you give me like a distance metaphysical facial? Because that sounds so good. Oh my gosh. We need someone in New Zealand to do something like that.
Well, it's a really special treatment, I believe. It's something that really came straight from my heart. And I've loved doing, I was in the beauty industry for 20 years. So it's definitely something that I love to do. But integrating all these new techniques that I've learned, I believe it's a really special, special treatment.
Oh my gosh. I bet people must book that over and over and over again, because number one, having a facial is amazing. But having the added bonus of crystals and Reiki and messages, and that's just like a facial on steroids for everything, your body, mind, and soul. Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to fly to Idaho when we're allowed to do that and have one from you, because I'm down. That sounds amazing. Yeah. I would love for you to share, because I know this didn't just happen for you. What was the tipping point when you realized, actually, I have to embrace my spiritual self?
Well, it happened over a long process. You know how they say the universe knocks at your door slowly and then it just gets louder and louder and louder. So I had some PTSD come up when I was working at a casino, and I was triggered into some stuff from my childhood that I didn't heal. And then I had postpartum depression after having my second child, my daughter. And then in 2016, I lost my grandmother who raised me and was my everything. And in the year of 2016, I lost 10 family and friends and also my two dogs. So I call that the year of the hurricane. And I was at my rock bottom, my very, very rock bottom. And because I had a parent that had parents that committed suicide, I know what that does to someone. And even though I was at the time quite suicidal, I couldn't do that to my children. And so I decided to fight and to try anything. I was at a point that I was willing to try anything. And that led me to experiencing a Reiki treatment, which I thought was nuts. And I went to this treatment and something magical happened to me that I almost can't even physically explain with words. But it saved my life. Reiki saved my life. And that led me to meditation. And it was like the minute this light turned on, the switch was turned on, I was learning everything to do with metaphysics and Reiki and mediumship and healing work and meditation. And I got certified in everything possible because I just wanted to learn about it naturally my career turned from giving the facial to slowly giving coaching during the facial to telling my clients what was going on with me. And then it kind of switched into me starting this woman support group for people that are looking for this information that I was so desperately looking for and couldn't find. I didn't know where to look. So that's how it became out of Crystal Skin Studio and into the Mind, Beauty, Soul.
That's just amazing. I love that you call the hurricane year of 2016. I think if I look back into my life, 2016 was my tipping point. I had battled with suicide for 20 years and two decades. And it was my birthday and I went to Bali and I decided I can't do this anymore. I can't keep wanting to go back home, as I call it. And that was the year that everything changed. I call it, I've been sober ever since. I haven't wanted to take my own life since 2016. And it was a massive year. Oh my gosh, that year, probably like you, was my, maybe I'll call it, maybe not a hurricane, but let's call it like a storm. It was a storm kind of year for me. So I think, you know, the fact that we do what we do and we love it, and I think that's why the universe has brought us together. We've had some similar things happen. And I love that you became a sponge. You were like, that's it. The universe knocked on my door for this long and I'm just going to absorb it all. So you've probably had many past lives mastering all these incredible arts and you're putting it all together now.
Yeah, I definitely can agree with that.
So I'd like to ask as well, you mentioned to me that Louise Hay has been one of your greatest mentors. She sure was a pioneer and opened up the world of healing to the everyday people. So how do you see your work assisting humanity?
For me, I believe my work is assisting humanity because it's bringing people back to the state of unconditional love, which is our natural state. If we allow it to be, it's when we are resisting the space of unconditional love that we find great suffering, great unhappiness, and we find that we don't feel like we fit into our own lives. It's that resistance of self-love and self-care. And so I believe that using a lot of her inspiration and a lot of her work, which was part of my healing process, is in a way my world has been guided and inspired by her world in metaphysics, utilizing affirmation work and self-love and forgiveness and being willing to do the healing as far as like the meditation work and things of that nature.
She really was a gem, you know. Rest yes. in peace, Louise. We love you and we thank you for opening up the door for all of us in a way, because I don't necessarily feel the work that I do would be as accepted if, you know, healing wasn't something that was more acceptable. I think people dabble in the healing and then they come and they do the intuitive work, they do the mediumship, they do all that kind of stuff. But healing is such a doorway to opening up the world of spirituality. So we're really grateful to Louise for bringing it to the modern ages. Would you say that?
Yeah, absolutely. And what's interesting is, you know, she had been doing this work for a long time when it wasn't necessarily socially acceptable. So she did make our job so much easier.
And for that, Louise, we thank you.
Yes, thank you, Louise. It is a beautiful thing that it's so much easier to be accepted in this world with the gifts that we have. People are starting to see that the stuff is really, truly part of who we are on a spiritual aspect. And now we're starting to encompass this mind, body, spirit aspect. And I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful.
Yeah, I think for the way forward, how I kind of see, not that I predict the future or anything like that in terms of humanity, but I kind of believe the world is moving to be more holistic and your spirituality isn't going to be something that's detached. Actually, it's the whole package and we're coming back to that. And so I really believe the work that we do is going to be very much part of everyone's everyday life.
Yes. And I can't wait for it.
What a beautiful time. I'm so excited for the world to be in that self-love. And oh my goodness, could you imagine the next generations where our actions come from that place of love?
Yes, I can imagine it. I really can. And I think that there's a reason I incarnated at this time so I could see this become reality.
Me too, sister. Let's see it. Let's see it through. Now, of course, I know meditation is your gig and I love that because more and more people are embracing meditation, which is amazing. We encourage you to meditate. What's your tips for having a sustained meditation practice and why is meditation fundamental?
Meditation is the medicine. You'll see these memes and posts that say medication and it's crossed out and then it says meditation. It is my personal belief that meditation can cure anything, anything at all. I started my meditation practice, and it's normal when you start to fall off, you start to feel better, and then you're like, okay, I don't need to do it. You know, you don't think about doing it. And then you start noticing your life become very different. And then you're like, oh my goodness, I have not meditated, and this is what's going on. So meditation for me is everything. It is a non-negotiable practice. For those of you that might be wanting to start this practice, I recommend starting small. So in the beginning, 5 minutes. Just promising yourself the gift of 5 minutes a day, knowing that you might think, oh, I'm bad at this, or I can't do this, or I can't stop my mind. What I would love to say to anyone that feels that way is that it's a practice. You learn to do this. It doesn't just happen because you decided to sit down today. It's like riding a bike. You can't just get on a bike without training wheels when you're young, right? You have to learn how to get that movement going, how to stay in the flow, all of these things. And I've been meditating regularly since 2016, and I am no means an expert on meditation. There are people, there are masters that are way far above me that have said, you know, after 20 years, all of these new things start to change. So it's a practice where the benefits never end. They grow and grow and grow forever. So if you can take 5 minutes a day to just focus on your breath and be with yourself in silence, I'm telling you, it will be the greatest gift you ever gave yourself in your whole life.
Oh my gosh. I love it. It is the medicine. I've never heard anyone say that before and it makes sense. You know, I fought meditation. Guys, if you are someone who has been like, oh, I've dabbled in meditation, like I've been there. It wasn't until 2019 that I kind of went, okay, maybe this meditation thing is real. And I taught meditation. I, you know, had dabbled and I was like, yeah, like you, life is good, fall off the wagon. And then you go, oh yeah, I better meditate again. But now it is non-negotiable. And I can tell when I haven't meditated and it's like, oh, Melissa is not necessarily nice to be around, because she hasn't served herself first. And it comes back to that self-love that you talk so passionately about. Meditation is a form of giving to yourself. And I believe you probably see it that way. It is the most wonderful thing you can do to say, hey, I love you.
Yes. It absolutely is an act of self-care and an act of self-love. And it will heal anything you're trying to heal. I truly believe that.
I believe, like Louise says, you can heal your life, right? Let's talk about yes. The guru. And, you know, I probably am under the same belief that the mind creates the physical ailments. And so I really believe you can heal it all. That's all in your mind. And meditation reconnects you to you. So when you're connected back to yourself, you can understand what your physical body is going through. Do you want to expand on that?
Well, I believe that absolutely is true. Your mind creates everything. So this is kind of the basics of metaphysics, is that our mind is the powerful generator, which is why affirmation work is so powerful, which is why meditation is so powerful, which is why the words that you speak about yourself are so powerful. I, a lot of times, catch myself with clients hearing them say things like, oh, I'll never be able to do this. And I said, well, but if that's what you say, then you're right. Or for instance, with everything that's going on right now in our world, we'll just talk a little bit about the virus that's going around. If you are in the vibration of fear, that is one of the lowest vibrations you can be in. And so you're way more likely to be able to be sick because you believe you can be. So do I think the virus is real? Yes, I think it's real when you believe it's real. So when people say it's not real, okay, well, if you think it's not real, you're likely to not get it. If you think it's real and you're afraid of it and you're out and about, all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I have this cough. Oh my gosh, I have this. You start getting this paranoia about you and then you attract it. So you can make anything real. You can decide what's real. And I'll just say for myself, I was sick all the time in my life. I would get strep throat 3 or 4 times a year. I would have ear infections. I had a breast reduction. I had 2 C-sections because of medical issues. My appendix burst inside of my body and I almost died. I have almost died multiple times in my life because of the fear that I was living in. I was in massive fear all the time, low vibrational, and I was sick all the time. I started meditating and I haven't been sick in a couple years. I maybe get like, oh, this cold is coming, but then it never actually comes. You know, that feeling where it's like, oh, my throat's feeling a little weird, but then by the next day it's gone. And that can't be a coincidence. It just cannot be a coincidence that I was sick for 34 years of my life, and then not at all. I mean, not at all. So just know what you said, what Louise says, you can heal your life with your thoughts and with your actions and your words.
Yeah, I so agree with you in the sense that I hear my clients say things like that all the time. Oh, I can't do this. I'll never be able to do that. I'm stuck. I'm lost. And I'm like, well, that's what you're going to keep being because the universe brings you everything that you say. By law, the universe has to answer every question. So if we go into victim mode, it's going to keep bringing you victim mode opportunities. And so on the Abraham Hicks scale, fear is one of the lowest vibrations. And so we've got to rise above that. And what's one of the highest? Love, right? Love, which is what we are. We're all source energy. They're unconditional love. So I know we speak the same language. Oh my gosh. My soul is like radiating. And yeah, so your words are so powerful. You know, Crystal is so right. Be mindful of what you're saying. And it's catching yourself out. I think that's how it starts when you are first, you know, in this world of, okay, I'm going to do law of attraction. I'm going to be the best version of me, live my best life, all that jazz. And it's catching yourself out and seeing your patterns. Would you say that? And then, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. You know, you didn't just go, oh, that's it. I'm no longer sick. You had to work through a process, I imagine.
Absolutely. And this is why meditation is so powerful, because meditation teaches us to watch our thoughts. And when you become the observer of your thoughts, you notice the thoughts that you're thinking, and then you start observing and noticing the things that you're saying. And then I find myself going, oh, let's delete that, because I'll say something and I'm like, nope, I didn't mean that. I'm going to go ahead and delete that from the record. And this is what I'm going to say. So if I catch myself saying something like, you know, it's just quick, something we've learned when we're young, like, oh, I'm so dumb. I can't believe I did that. I'll catch myself and go, actually, I'm really smart. And I just notice myself right in the moment. I notice exactly where I don't want to go, which is that I'm not smart. And I'm going back to, I am smart. So then I'll affirm three times. I'll affirm this 3 times. I am smart. I am smart. So you can correct it vibrationally.
Totally can. I love that. And the work that you do seems like it's all about vibration and color and all that kind of stuff. So I know that you work with the chakra system. Tell us why you awaken people's chakras.
You know, what was interesting is I didn't set out in this world of chakras. It was kind of like, first I learned meditation and everyone's talking about chakras. And then I learned Reiki and everyone's talking about chakras. And then I'm learning meditation and everyone's talking about chakras. And I'm like, what is happening? Well, what was happening also at the same time is I've had this connection to snakes my whole life, this crazy connection with snakes. And then I heard your Kundalini is awakening. And your Kundalini is in the base chakra. So then I started doing all of this research on chakras. Like, what is this word that everyone is talking about? And this is where it was like my aha moment. This is where everything is connected, no matter what you're doing, whether you're going through the yoga channel, the meditation channel. I mean, even with the work that you do, I'm sure chakras come up because it is intertwined in everything. It is, we have seven basic chakras that live within our body, and understanding that these are spiritual centers of vibrational energy, and they can be blocked and they can be overactive. But when they're balanced, this is when we have that purity, that joy, the ability to speak our truth, the having the connection to the spirits and to the ground. This is when we are at our most happy, is when our chakras are balanced. And this is a game we have to play every day, right? Our energy changes every single day. So just because today I might be fully balanced doesn't mean tomorrow I will be. So it's kind of like always keeping your car in tune and getting, you know, it checked on and making sure that it's running properly. This is what we do with the chakra system in our bodies, recognizing that everything is energy, every single thing, the universe, nature, our body, our thoughts, our mind, and all of the energy in our body is all connected to a chakra system. And when you learn about this, you can completely master and control the vibrational energy that's going through your body and completely massively change your life.
Yeah, I do chakra workshops. I love working with the chakras. I think for me, I'm probably not as much of an expert as you on chakras, but I feel that it helps release all this blocked energy that a lot of people love holding on to. They love the feel goods of the crap. That's what I call it. They love the crap. You know, we love as human beings that self-sabotage, that victim mode. And I feel when we work with the chakras, it makes us aware of the story. It makes us aware of the blocks. And then people have these aha moments. Oh my goodness. No wonder I've got a sore throat all the time, or I've got abdominal issues, or, you know, whatever it might be. What do you think is the most resistant chakra that people struggle with? Or I don't know if I've worded that well, but I think you might know what I mean. What's the one where people kind of go, ooh, that felt good to release because I've been holding on to a lot of stuff there?
I believe, at least in the States here, I believe that where people get their energy stuck the most is their solar plexus, their power chakra, their self-esteem, their worthiness, their willingness to believe that they deserve. I am worthy. I am powerful. I am confident. This is where I find the biggest blockages. And it's no doubt. I mean, this happens as we're going into our early 20s. That's when this is developed. And this is when, you know, we're, you know, dating and learning who we are without our parents a little bit and going out more on our own. And we feel that we are not worthy, that we don't belong, that, you know, we just start having really low self-esteem based on old situations and stories that don't belong to us anyways. You know, I believe it comes from generational things as well. So for me, I would definitely believe it's the solar plexus. However, I do find that the heart chakra and the throat chakra are big blocks here as well. You know, the ability to accept unconditional love, not just the ability to give love, but can you accept unconditional love? And then the throat chakra, are you willing to speak your truth without holding back? And this is why I had, you know, strep throat all the time, because I was always closing my mouth, holding my thoughts, never speaking my truth, trying to please everyone, which shuts down all of our systems because that's not who we are naturally.
Oh my gosh. Thinking back as a child, I had tonsillitis, like not enough to get them removed, but close enough for them to be questioning it. So I probably would get it like five times a year. And I was, you know, I was heavily abused. So that whole self-worth thing was down the drain. And, you know, I agree with you. The solar plexus is, I like to call it the inner child. It's that beautiful kind of innocence, isn't it? The creativity. Yes. It's a beautiful chakra to work with. And it is where, you know, our self-worth is embodied. And that's what I see a lot of women. Predominantly, I work with women. I also do work with men, but they don't feel worthy. They don't feel they deserve it. And my heart aches because I'm like, you deserve the world. And why can't you see that?
Yes, it's so hard, isn't it? When you're in this space of being able to guide and teach and you see people that are just amazing. I can see them with true unconditional love and acceptance, and I see the beauty in them, and I see how worthy they are of anything that they want, and they just do not feel that way about themselves. And I too, it actually breaks my heart. It brings tears into my eyes because I can see the beauty in them the way that maybe God would see the beauty in them. You are perfect the way that you are. You don't need to do anything else to have a life that you deserve or that you want. You deserve anything that you want. If you can imagine it and it's something you want, it's something you can have.
It doesn't have to be something that is so disconnected from you. And I'm the same. It's like, you know, I work a lot intuitively with people and I see the most incredible lives for them. And they're like, wow. But then there's something inside of them that goes, but that can't really be my reality. And it is heartbreaking because I see them as the universe sees them, as the unconditional love, as source energy that they are, their magnificence, their infinite potential, their true power. And it's like, oh, if only you could, you know, take the time. And I really agree with you. It starts with meditation. It starts with affirmations. It's giving to yourself first. And that's why I believe the work that you do is so important. And we need more and more light workers helping people to go through this metamorphosis process. What do you think is the reason people struggle to live their best lives?
Because they're really comfortable in the lives that they're in. We get so comfortable, and the greatest fear that we have is change. The greatest other fear that we have is actually living our dream life. It's something that we greatly fear, because then what happens if it gets taken away? So it's a little bit easier. This is all subconscious. It's totally embedded in us. It's not something we consciously would say like, oh, I wouldn't think that. Well, no, not consciously, but subconsciously we do. So it's a natural fear that we have going into this kind of stuff. We love our stories. It's very easy to be like, poor me, this always happens. And then we get attention from that. And then our ego starts to crave the attention from that. We love the idea. And I did the same exact thing. I would say, oh, you know, I don't know what I did in another life to deserve the life that I'm living, but I must have been a massive criminal. And all these things keep happening to me. I had an extremely traumatic childhood. There was a lot of abuse. I was taken out of my home when I was 11. I have seen and done things in my lifetime that most people couldn't even imagine. And I didn't understand why me. Why me? And then as I got older, I was always sick and all of these things were always happening. I felt like I was a good person, but I didn't know why these things were happening to me. And I was perpetuating it. And then I was getting all of this attention because I was always sick. I would get flowers and this, and people would take care of me. And my inner child loved the idea of getting taken care of because it's something I always craved. So it's like, I had to go through all of that to learn all the things that I had to learn. These were beautiful life lessons that brought me to my awakening. And now I believe everything that happened was perfect for my learning. But I know now that we can take control of our lives from wherever our standpoint we're at, and we can change the whole narrative. We can change the whole story. We get to be the author. We get to decide. So you can step out of that space of fear. You can step out of feeling like, oh, but what if I do get all of these things? Then what? Well, then you get your dream. Then you get the rainbow. You get to turn out of the storm and find your personal rainbow. And it's beautiful. It is beautiful on the other side. You just have to stick it out in the storm long enough to make it to the other side, to the rainbow that's been there the whole time. You just chosen to stay in the storm because you're so comfortable there. You know what it looks like. You know what it feels like. You know what it tastes like. You know everything about it, which creates comfort. There's a comfort around it, even if it's abusive, even if it's negative, even if you're not happy in it, you're still comfortable in it.
Yeah.
So turn around, find your rainbow, enjoy your best life because it's been here waiting for you the whole time. And it'll wait as long as you want because you get to choose.
That's right. Everything is your choice. We have free will. And I love that. I was like going through my own life and I was like, yeah, oh my goodness. How many times have I said, I must have been something really bad in a past life to deserve the life that I'm living now. And I have to say that that's even like maybe even a few days ago, I might've said that. I'm like, oh, you know, I still got some growing to do just because my world is being a spiritual leader and teacher and all of that kind of things. doesn't mean that I've got it all figured out all the time. But the difference is I'm willing and I know that I'm worthy and deserving. And it is so beautiful when you have the things that you want. And, you know, why are we so afraid of what we want? Why has that been ingrained in us? I mean, I don't know if you have the answer. I don't know if any of us really have the answer, but I really hope we live in a world where the kind of work that you do, Crystal, really shatters that paradigm. We change the status quo, and, you know, choosing to want bliss and beauty and peace and love and joy and abundance in our life isn't deemed as, I don't know, I don't even know what it's deemed to have, you know, to want these things. But that's my vision. And it seems like it's your vision too for people. I really want to get to the bottom of this fear nonsense.
Yes, the fear comes from the root chakra and that solar plexus. Do you feel deserving? And that, I believe, is the key. Do you actually believe you deserve it? And this is what I tell people. I don't mean on a conscious ego level, yeah, I deserve everything, because that's what people naturally will say. Oh, yeah, I think I deserve everything. Yeah, but do you really? Deep down, when you're by yourself, at home, at night, in your bed, do you really believe you deserve it? Truly? Because 9 times out of 10, I believe most people's personal answer is no, I don't think I deserve it.
I call it like the superficial level, like our reaction. Like when I say, you know, who's the most important person in your life? And my clients look at me like, well, I know the answer to that. I know that it's me, but I'm like, okay, well, not me as in Melissa, me as in themselves. And it's like, well, yeah, you should all love Melissa first. No, just kidding. But it's like they know the answer, but actually living that as the answer is different. So I call it like you, the superficial level. We know the answer. Oh yeah, I deserve everything. But actually, when you go deeper and you look within yourself, what's the healing that needs to happen for you to actually embody that?
Yes.
And I think that's the work that you do, isn't it? That's what you do with people.
That is what I do.
Oh, I love you so much. I love the work that you do. I'm like, I could honestly just imagine us being best friends forever. I do. I'm like, I'm already imagine it. Yeah, my BFF in America, and, you know, I'll be your BFF in New Zealand. And
1,000%.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're all interconnected. We're all one. And I love so much how you've helped me. Like, I'm going, oh my gosh, I'd forgotten some of these basics about myself. And actually, there probably is more healing. And it's, I don't know if you've seen the movie Shrek, but it's kind of like an onion, isn't it? How donkey says to Shrek, you're like an onion. And it's like, once we peel a layer, there's always another layer, but it's not something to be afraid of. The more layers we can unpeel, the more we are that pure, unconditional love for ourselves.
Yes. And the truth is that there's always work to be done. I always say that if you're still alive, there's still work to be done. Because if you were done, you would move on to the next level. You wouldn't have to be here anymore. So you're either still here because you have more to teach and more contracts that you have with others as far as what you'll do for them. But I also believe that if you're here, they're still learning for you to be done. Maybe that's through your teaching, and maybe it's through your students, but maybe it's through another teacher. You never know. I believe that we're all students and we're all teachers all the time.
Me too. And I always love what Gabby has taught us. You know, Gabby Bernstein, she's always, you know, one of the things that really attracted me to her was what I see in you as a reflection of my light and what I see in you as a reflection of my shadow. And we do. We either have something to teach or to learn from everybody that we interact with. And I don't feel anyone that crosses our path is any more, more of value or less value. Everyone has something to bring to us.
I agree very much. And she was one of my first spiritual teachers. The Universe Has Your Back was the first book that I read in my spiritual awakening.
So we love Gabby Bernstein. She is amazing. I was blessed to actually do the Spirit Junkie Live in 2017. So that's the only time I've been to America. I was in New York for 4 days, flew in, flew out, so petrified to catch a yellow cab that I literally walked everywhere. I was like, I don't really understand how this whole taxi thing works. And America is so different to New Zealand in the sense that it's so big and busy. And I mean, I've traveled everywhere in the world, but it was like, that for me was, wow, Americans have, I love Americans. You have such a beautiful personality. A lot of you aren't afraid to be you. You know, and that's what I love. A lot of you have this real essence of, I am this big personality and I own it. And that's what I love.
Yes. And just know also that New York is not like America.
Oh, that's good.
New York is way busier, way bigger. Even I have fear of going to New York and doing all of the transit and the way that they travel and stuff like that. You know, you got to get on the train to get on the bus to get on the cab. And it's like, that's a lot for me. I'm more like farm town out here in the country. So there's different aspects for sure. And New York probably has the greatest characters, I would say.
Yeah, I can't say that I've been anywhere else, but New York was like, ooh, I felt so tiny. I was like, oh my gosh, here I am, this French girl from New Zealand in the Big Apple. Is that what New York is called? And I'm like, I did the Statue of Liberty. I did all those kinds of fun things. And it was like, I definitely want to go back to America. My partner's dream is to, you know, hire a Cadillac and drive through, you know, from one end to the other. And, you know, I hope our paths will cross, Crystal, when we do our journey, because, you know, what you put out there comes back to you. And I just want to say, you know, it's been such an eye-opener to speak with you, and I'm sure everyone else is also in their minds going, oh my gosh, I can relate, or this has happened to me, or, you know, like I'm doing it right now. I'm like a thousand things going on in my head going, yeah, oh, Melissa, this needs to be addressed a little bit. Let's meditate on that. But you have so much heart, and light workers like you are just God sent, really. And I feel so blessed and honored that we got to spend this time together. And I am claiming you as my BFF. So she is taken. So
I love it. I love it so much.
Oh my gosh. Just thank you so much, Crystal.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I truly appreciate it. It's been an honor and a blast.
Now, where can people find you and connect with you? I will link it up, but just tell us.
Yes, I am at themindbeautysoul.com. And on Instagram and Facebook, you can find me at themindbeautysoul. And I also run a Facebook group called Magenta 31.
Awesome. And I know because people love connecting with everyone around the world, can some of your programs be done virtually?
Yes, all of my programs can be done virtually. The only thing that I do not do virtually, of course, is the metaphysical facial.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, we will work on that because I'm like, I need one of those. So everybody, I feel like this outpouring love is from Crystal and myself to all of you. And I know that you're all doing phenomenal things in the world. I know we can all do our part to heal ourselves and each other and the planet as we rise with love. So let's just feel into that energy. Thank you for joining Crystal and myself. Until next time, peace, love, and blessings. Melissa.